Many of you know that on Mother's Day, I, if possible, would ask a woman to share as a way of honoring women. And so I asked Angie Christofferson if she would share, and she gladly said yes. So I'm going to hand over to Angie. Can we just welcome Angie this morning?
Thank you. I have to say, anytime Pastor Joe asks me to speak, I'm like, sure. And then I walk out the door and my knees start shaking. I'm like, what did I do? But God always comes through and he always provides. And this time was a little different. I was like, a day goes by and I didn't get anything. Another day goes by and I didn't get anything. And finally, I got something and came to here next that very Sunday, and y'all got up and said everything that I was going to say. And I'm like, now what? I actually talked to Tracy about it. I'm like, and she says, you know, sometimes we need to hear it twice. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, do we start over? What do we do? And he just gave me the same thing again. So if it sounds familiar, that's why. And I also have to say, thank you, Lord, that I don't do this every week. I do not know how Pastor Joe does this. I mean, it's like, you know, I go through all of this, you know, the shaking of the shoes, and then I'm like, okay, I got it. And then this week, I've been working on my mom's house. I've been just painting and painting and painting, and so I've been too tired to be nervous until I started driving to church this morning, and then it's like, oh, no. But I get here, and thank you, Lord, for the unity of God and how he speaks, because every song Pastor Sean played goes right along with what God said. So, God is good. So, Lord, I ask right now that you anoint my mouth, that you would cause your words to come out, and that you would bless the ears of the hearer, and Lord, that they would take your words and allow them to sink deep within their spirit, cause it to become part of their very foundations of their beliefs in you. And Lord, we ask that you bless each and every one that are here, and let's do this. Amen. So, every year I do a Bible reading. Sometimes it's topical, most of the time it's the year through the Bible in a year. And so I did the same this year, and I started in Genesis, and I met Ruth now, but a scripture came up. It's been about a month now, and the Lord just really struck it. And every day I get up and that's the scripture on my mind, and that's where the Lord is leading me. And I want everybody here to know that the Lord is getting ready to do amazing things. The scripture he gave me is Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that's the message that he is giving. I have heard it on the internet. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard it everywhere. The Lord is releasing signs and wonders across this land, within bodies of believers. So consecrate yourself, because the Lord, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. There have been several people that have noticed the change in Bethany lately. In case you don't know, Bethany's been tube fed since 2004, and last year they allowed her to begin to eat, which is a blessing for the Lord. She one meal a day. Last Sunday, after we went to after we left the service, we went to El Charro. Yay, love El Charro. One of my favorite places. So we had our meal, and one of the ladies who was the waitress, not even our waitress, she came to collect our dishes, and she said to me, I am so happy to see her enjoying her food. And I kind of took me aback a little bit, because El Charro has a lot of waitresses, and to be quite honest, I never really pay attention too much to them. They are very good, and I tip them, and I love that place, but I never really pay much attention. But the lady said to me, she said, you've been coming here for years. And she said, she has been so thin. And it is so good to see her enjoying her food and eating, and she looks so much better. And I was just astounded. I was like, I didn't know they paid that close attention, but they do. And so I walked away from that as going kind of, wow, you know. I thanked her. I told her, you know, that, you know, she'd been tube fed, and she's like, I know, but it's good to see her enjoying her food. So, but I thought, what a testimony for God when she walks into that place, out of that wheelchair, completely healed of what, of the cerebral palsy. What a testimony that's going to be for the Lord. And that led me to think of a lot of other things. A couple of weeks ago, when God asked you what you wanted, one of the first things that you said is you wanted to see Bethany healed in Jesus' name. I've had people talk to me about dreams that they've had of Bethany being healed. You know, several in this church have talked about it. I've had them talk about how they pray with their children every single night for Bethany's healing. And I thought, Glenda has one time told me that she saw herself teaching Bethany the piano. And I thought about how much God has invested each and every one of you in that healing and the impact that it would have when God completes it. And as I was pondering that, the Lord said, but then what? And I was kind of taken aback because I'm like, they'll rejoice. They'll just, you know, and God said, but then what? So if God is getting ready to release and has started to release signs and wonders across this land, and we are going to experience in them an increasing measure, then what? What do we do with these? Who are these signs and wonders for? What is their purpose? And what do we gain from them? So I want to do something, if you'll cooperate with me just for a minute. I want to do a visual testimony. So if you will, if God has ever provided for you divine protection. Maybe you were coming to a stop sign and you missed. Can you stand up? Just stand up. If God has ever experienced, if you've ever experienced God's divine provision, maybe you were down to your last can of food and God provided it just when you needed it. Stand up. Join the rest of us. Maybe you've experienced healing in your body. Stand up. Maybe you have laid your hand upon somebody and saw them recovered. Stand up. Experience God's divine peace. In the midst of chaotic circumstances, that peace just there. Okay. Look around. Look around. Now, Bethany would stand up if she could, because she's experienced a lot of these. But look around. I mean, look what God has done. Isn't that amazing? What a almighty, miraculous God that we serve. Okay, y'all can sit down. But, I mean, what a testimony we have. And for everybody out there looking, almost every single person, I don't think there was a single one that was not standing up, because we serve a mighty God. In my life, I have experienced a lot of divine intervention. I've been set free from nicotine addiction. I went to bed a smoker, I woke up, and that was completely gone. I injured my knee, and somebody laid hands on my knee, and it jerked and twisted, and I had been pain-free ever since. God is good. I've seen Bethany, her hand prayed for. For years, she kept her hand fisted so much that the skin would split because her hand was so tight. And yet, she can open her and close her hand at will because God, people prayed for her, and God healed her. we were down to Bethany's last can of food during the pandemic, and everything was taking long, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I ordered the food, it was $450 for her food, and it's like, I don't got the money for that, Lord, so I guess I'll have to put it on my charge card. She was down to the last can of food, and I go, and God miraculously allowed everything to go through, the insurance paid for it, and she was able to get her food when she had none left whatsoever. God is good. He provides. I was in a emergency room in the ER in Mercy Hospital in Springfield, and I was there with my dad, and this lady came in, and she was in the middle of a stroke, and everything was bad, and it was so backed up because it was the regular flu, not pandemic yet, and yet they couldn't take her back, and she was, you could see she was having a stroke. Her face was getting laxer and laxer. She was falling over. She was drooling. And the Lord did something to my heart. I just felt compassion for her. So I went over and I got a washcloth and I washed her face and I asked her husband, can I pray for her? And he said, yes, please. And so I prayed for her. They took her back. This is kind of cool. I never have to see her again. So I don't know whether it worked or not. A couple of weeks later, I'm back at the hospital with my dad. I'm in the cafeteria and this lady and gentleman come up to me and they said, you don't remember us, do you? And I'm like, no, am I supposed to? the guy said, this is my wife whom you laid your hands on and prayed for her. And the moment you did, she began to recover. And she is completely fine. No remnants of the stroke left whatsoever. And I'm like, thank you, God. You are a miracle-working God. And thank you for confirming it, that you are. My husband was driving 70 miles an hour down the interstate from California in his brand new car that he just bought, and a group of elk come running across the road, and he split the elk, went right between the one and the other. At 70 miles an hour, that little car would not have survived, but God miraculously intervened. God is a very, very good God. I've seen storms change the course. I've seen signs in the heavens, signs in earth. I've felt, while I'm here worshiping, I've felt the brush of angels' wings. God, it just goes on and on. Dan, a few weeks ago, was talking about the additional sounds that happen. My ear is not tuned to that, but I felt the presence. Bethany and I have come into this building. Before I've turned on any music, you can hear music playing, the sound audibly in this room as we open up for prayer time. God is just, he's all around us and he's doing amazing things. Now, in my family, there was a miracle that took place, actually a series of them, that took place that I have always known. My grandmother was healed of cancer. I was a child when it happened. Happened in 1972. There were other miracles that happened earlier than that, but to be quite honest, I was too young to remember. But I remember my grandmother being healed of cancer. And it became part of who I know God to be. God is healer. It's who he is. It became part of my foundation. But I noticed something even as a kid, that while everybody in the family experienced that same miracle, they all saw my grandmother. I mean, they gave my grandmother 3 weeks left to live. They said, do what you want to do because she's going to be too sick to do anything. My grandmother wanted to go to Florida, so my grandfather and my aunt took her to Florida. And everyone in the family experienced it. My grandmother came back from that trip completely healed of cancer. Gone. Done. But the interesting thing that I noted even as a kid is that not everybody experienced it the same way. Now, my mother, who has always been one to teach me about spiritual matters and things like that, and thank you, Mom. She took that as something that, and she taught us kids, God is healer. But a lot of members of the family, they didn't, and I didn't understand that. And because I had a child's understanding, I asked Mom last week, so what happened? You know, because I mean, you understand things as a kid. I knew Grandma had cancer, Grandma was healed, but I didn't understand any of the rest of it that went along with it. And so I've asked my mama to come up here, and because she was an adult and she was around. And so, Mama, can you come up? And if you don't know, this is my mother, Judy. Woo, woo, yeah.
I, with my own eyes, as I say, I witnessed three times my mother-in-law being healed. First was, it was emergency surgery. She had swallowed a toothpick. It had entered into her intestines and was stuck, and it had perforated it, and she had to have emergency surgery. Okay? My husband was at work. They came back to tell me. She was terrified. I had experienced the great physician when I prayed for my children with fevers and stuff. But this was even different because I didn't know the surgeon, never heard of him. She went to a tiny hospital in Washington, Missouri. And so I started praying and I said, Lord, you are the physician. Guide that surgeon's hand. Give him wisdom and give him knowledge. And then she came through it. She healed rapidly and she came home. And that's when I really knew the physician, that you could ask him to guide and direct those things. I'm sorry. The second time, it was an emergency situation again. My mother-in-law began having headaches, and she had put her hands on each side of her head. And they took her to the doctor, and she had to have surgery again. She had a tumor that was wrapped around her eyes. She went to St. Louis. The doctor didn't give much hope. He said, we're going to remove it. She may not make it. And we don't know what the results will be afterwards. So our pastor was there. And he was preparing for her death. And my sister, oldest sister-in-law, we called her sis. We looked at one another and we said, no. So we went to praying. And we prayed for all the time. And it was a very long surgery. It had actually wrapped around into this area and down here. She came through. And God healed her. That's when I met the healer. She came out with one eye that she couldn't see out of. She couldn't smell. She couldn't taste. Sorry. I guess so. She had one eye that she could see out of. She passed every driver's test that she ever took. She made her own clothes, and she made the most beautiful dresses for her grandchildren. That was the healer. And then in 71, she got cancer. So we prayed. We sent out to everybody we knew. We sent her daughter, like my daughter said, was living in Florida. She had four grandchildren there. And this little church that they attended and that my mother-in-law and father-in-law attended when they were in Florida, they got together and they took a cloth about the size of my hand, a little less, And the church prayed and anointed over that cloth, and they sent it to my mother-in-law. She put it on her person, and she had that cloth on her all the time. She had chemotherapy. She lost weight. She couldn't eat. And they said these very words: if you want her to see her grandchildren while she's in her right mind, take her now. So they loaded her up, put her in the back seat of the car, and they headed for Memphis, headed to Florida. About Memphis, now she didn't eat. She says, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. So they stopped. They got her something to eat. The closer she got, the stronger she got. When she got down there, and when she came back, she was totally healed. I went to the doctors with them. They took an x-ray. I saw him come out of her, shaking his head. They took another x-ray. He came out, shaking his head. And these are the words he said. He said, we can see where the cancer has been, but it's not there now. Take her home and let her live a normal life. That was in 72. I learned I had a great physician. I learned I had a healer. I learned I had a miracle maker. Some learned in her family, and some held it for a little bit, but they lost it. They lost it as the time went on. But I grasped it, and so did my older sister-in-law. I have one more miracle I want to tell you about. I have had many in my life that I've seen with my own children. But this miracle is the greatest miracle of all. In 78, my sister went in. She was my oldest sister. She went in. They thought she had blood clots. It turned out she had cancer throughout her body. Now, I had prayed for my sister from the time I was 8 years old till I was 32 at the time, that she would be saved. Not only did I pray, my mother prayed, my sister, my brother. She was in the hospital 3 weeks. God was gracious. She had a 17-year-old girl that was graduating, her last child, so she was able to go out and see that. Her husband met a gentleman. Turned out he was a preacher. And he told her about Helen, and he came to see her. 3 weeks in the hospital, and I had prayed, Lord, I don't care if you heal her or not. Just don't let her die and go to hell, because she was unsaved. He led her to the Lord. That was the miracle. And the other thing was, 3 weeks later, he took her home. That was the greatest miracle for me. But when they told me I had gone to the down there, because like I said, she was going to have surgery, I couldn't get anybody to tell me what was going on. So I went in, and there was the waiting area was full, and my mother. I said, how is Helen? What's going on? She said, take her into the bathroom. She told my sister to take me into the bathroom and tell me. And she looked at me and she said, Judy, Helen's got cancer. And I kind of leaned back against the faucet, you know, back against where you wash your hands. And then I stood up and I looked her in the eye. God, my answer was, God can heal cancer, because I had met the physician, the healer, and the miracle worker. God can, God will, and God does. That's what I learned from the miracles that I have seen. And I can stand on it. So when things come with Bethany, my answer was, God can heal. God will heal. and God does heal. And it's what you do with it that is important when the miracles come. It's how you grow in it. And like I said, some did, but some didn't. It seemed like they just kind of forgot about it.
So here's the crux of the matter. What was different? Because I have cousins and family members to this day that when something comes up, they call my mom to pray because they know mom has the faith. They experienced the same thing, and yet they did not have the faith. Something caused mom to grasp a hold of that and to make it part of her very foundational understanding of who God was when others in their family couldn't. I love my dad, but he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. Sometimes I think some of them think that it's for this moment or only for this event, or it has to be this person praying over them, or this person is this ministry, and they chase different things. I have mentioned this in Bible study in different times. I'm like, what's wrong with the Israelites? And I want to take you back there. Consider this. Okay, the Israelites in the Exodus from Egypt, they experienced the plagues. All of them did. They experienced God differentiating between them and the Egyptians, showing them that they were different than the Egyptians. They experienced God's divine protection in the Passover. I mean, they applied the blood of the lamb to their doorpost. The death angel passed over them. They and their children were safe. But the firstborn of Egypt were killed. They experienced God's divine provision. And I'm thinking, boy, these people, God really blessed them, because, I mean, the day after all of the firstborn in Egypt are killed, God says, go to your neighbor and ask them for gold and silver. And they do. And they get it. And in such a way, they plundered Egypt. And I'm thinking, boy, that takes a lot of nerve. But they did it. And God provided for them. God provided manna. He provided quail. He provided water from the rock. They get their backs up against the wall. They are right. They got the Red Sea behind them, the Egyptian army ahead of them. There's nowhere to go. The angel of the Lord comes and stands between them and the Egyptians, so the Egyptians can't get to them. He sends a wind, and he blows past and causes the Red Sea to part, to dry up the land so that they can walk across on dry land. If that's not enough, when the Egyptians try to follow him, the waters swallow him up. They experience this. They had a hallelujah time. Miriam's like, the horse and the rider's thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. And they had a hallelujah shout in time. Then they go on and they enter into the desert of sin. Okay? They arrive at Mount Sinai. Okay? So what happens at Mount Sinai? The Lord comes down, descends onto the mountain. It's on fire. There's lightning. There's smoke. There's thunder. The Lord speaks to them audibly out of that. And he says, these are the things that I want you to do. The very first words that he says, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. So they're all like, okay, this is good. This is all good. Moses goes up to the mountain, and he's there for 40 days. But what happened? During that 40 days, the hearts of the people turned. Now, just to give you some context here, they left the Egypt And all of this occurred in about 4 months' time. So this is the fifth month. Can you imagine? All of this occurred since the beginning of the year. I mean, how can you not lay a hold of all of these things that you have seen and grasp a hold of? We have got a mighty, mighty, miraculous God, and lay hold of it. But instead, what did they do? They said, make us a God. We don't know what happened to this Moses guy. He just went up there and just disappeared. So they built them a golden calf. And they stood there after hearing the voice of God saying, I'm the God that brought you out of there. They worshiped that calf and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. So why were they not able to lay a hold of the miracles that happened? Now, God has promised us we are going to see miraculous signs and wonders. There are going to be signs in the heavens, signs on the earth. You're going to see healings. Bethany is going to get up and she's going to walk and run, and she will be testifying right here behind this pulpit what God has done. And every one of you and your children will experience it. But we could also not benefit from it because the children of Israel didn't. I think that there are many, many reasons why they don't necessarily catch a hold of a miracle, of miraculous things. I think, well, one of them, which has been said before, well, they got out of Egypt. Egypt didn't get out of them. That's part of it. They were accustomed to slavery. They were accustomed to living in that place of slavery. They were accustomed to the gods of Egypt. They had walked away from the faith of their forefathers, of what they had been taught, of the things that God had done for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, how he miraculously saved them. They had lost touch with that. So one of the things I think we need to be cautious about is not losing faith, losing track of those things. I grew up knowing God is healer. It's who he is. I mean, I grew up, I was 7 years old. I remember that. I don't remember the other ones because I was only like three then, so don't remember that. But I do remember Grandma had cancer. She was going to die. The doctor said she was going to die. The preacher said she was going to die. And yet, God healed my grandmother. God is healer. Okay. It became part of my foundation stones. I laid it in there. It became part of it. So when the doctors, everything went wrong with Bethany, it's like, God is healer. And then a message came forth, God is healer. I can grab a hold of that because I know that I know that I know. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know. Last week, Fano was talking, and he said, one of the reasons, and I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of people can't grab a hold of the miracles and the signs and the wonders, is because we're hanging on to that shiny thing in there. I didn't know that about raccoons. Now I do. I can lay a hold of that now. But they were hanging on to something. In part of when it came to the children of Israel, they were hanging on to that slavery and the ideas. But there are things that hold us back today because we're hanging on to something from our past, some hurtful thing, some belief that we have, whatever it is, and we don't let go. And so we can't grasp a hold of that miracle. But I'm here to tell you, every one of us here have experienced God's provision, God's safety, God's healing power, God's rescuing them. We need to grab a hold of that, and it needs to become a stone that we lay down in our foundation of our belief and understanding of who God is. Tell yourself over and over again. I have over and over again, from the time I was 7 years old, God is healer. Remember, God healed Grandma. You got the flu? No problem. God's a healer. Remember, God healed Grandma. Over and over again, we revisit that. Pastor Joe one time gave a message that I remember over and over again. Go back and revisit those altars. set those altars of remembrance so that you can remember what God did. Tisha, share them with your children that they would know. Share them with your grandchildren. I don't care if it happened 50 years ago. It is something that God has done, and God will do it again because he is not a respecter of person. If he provided for you when you needed it at the last moment, he will do it for them, for their children, for their grandchildren, and beyond. Because God loves us. It needs to become unshakable within us. Whatever it is that God did, let loose of that shiny thing. Grasp a hold of that miracle, open yourself up, and let it become a foundation stone. Now, my daddy, before he became a truck driver, he was a bricklayer. And he would say over and over again, if you don't get that foundation right, if that first row's not right, it's a mess all along. Your wall goes like this, it gets crooked, it's a mess, it's hard to fix. Lay down those stones. Let them become something so a part of who you are that you are not separate except for it. It is all part of who you are. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ, we receive Christ through faith, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught with overflowing thankfulness. So it needs to be rooted and grounded and just every part of your makeup. When God reveals himself, what he reveals to about himself, because every miracle that the children of Israel experienced, every miracle that you have experienced, that I have experienced, it reveals us something about our God. As my mama said, the first one showed that he was a physician. He guided the hands of the physician. The second miracle showed that he was a miracle worker. I mean, that he was a healer. The third was that he was a miracle worker. And they became foundation stones in her faith, in her bedrock faith. And she passed that on to her children. Maybe part of the reason why we cannot fully benefit from the signs and wonders that we experience is what Caroline spoke of last week. We are too busy trying to reason with our own minds, trying to think it out, figure it out. And I have to admit, I am the world's worst. I want to know how it gets there, and I want to know, but God says, my ways are not his ways, and my thoughts are not his thoughts. As high above the heavens as the earth is his ways higher than mine. So we need to move out of the realm of our own thinking, of our own thoughts, let God be God, because that's who he is. You know, I may never, ever, ever figure out why God does things the way he does things. I was talking to someone recently, and they're like, it's been so long. It's been so long. I don't understand how God could think that this would be better. I know God says that he works all things for our good, but how could he think that is better? I have been waiting my entire half of my life. I was 22 years old when Bethany was born. I am 50. Hold on. I'm 56. I've been waiting over half of my life, more than half of my life, for Bethany's healing. Bethany's been waiting her entire life. But I know that I know. God said it. That settles it. It's done. He is healer. So I have to stand on that. And I have to know that while I don't know, to me, it seems like it would be much better off if she'd been healed 20 years ago. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's in God's plans, what's in God's future. I can't see the future, but God has, and he can, and he will. And at exactly the right time, the Bible says at exactly the right time, Jesus came. And exactly the right time, that miracle is going to come forth. For exactly the purposes that God planned for it. So here's something to put in your bedrock. Our God is trustworthy. You can trust what he says. He is trustworthy. Share it with your children. God said it. Look, this is what happened. He did what he said. Our God is trustworthy. So, sometimes God tells us to do things that make no sense. They make absolutely no sense. Why would you do that? I don't know. But just like the child, we need to say, okay, God, you said it, I'm going to do it. So when God says run, run. When God says spin. If God says shout. Whatever God is telling you to do, do. Do you know, Jesus made mud. He spit in the dirt, took that dirt, made it mud, put it in somebody's eye, told him to go wash that eye out, and his eyes, blind eyes, were open. Now, Caroline's a doctor. Dennis back there is a doctor. I bet you if you ask them, neither one of them will tell you if you put mud in somebody's eye, they will be healed. But Jesus did that. It makes no sense in the natural. I mean, why would you do that? That's kind of gross. But God did, and he healed blind eyes. We don't know why. We don't know why. And it's not even our job to know why. Our job is to do. And so remember that even if it doesn't make sense, our God is trustworthy. If he says to take a handkerchief, anoint it with oil, pray over it, and have all your prayer partners pray over it, and send it to some lady far away who has cancer, do it. Because you don't know what that's going to do. You do not know what that's going to do. You don't know that somebody out there watching online sees you get up and yell, hallelujah, praise the Lord, run around the church, what that is doing. We don't know. But God does. Our job is to do. Because our God is a trustworthy God. Now, one of the things I want to say, because this is something that I've experienced, a lot of my family members have a tendency to think that it's a one-shot deal, once and done. You get one miracle of your life, and that's it. You know, God healed grandma. And so we can't expect anymore. And I think that's a good part of it. We can't expect anymore. But guess what? The Word of God says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That comes from Lamentations. And I always think it's interesting that verse comes out of Lamentations. When Jeremiah is lamenting over the fall of Jerusalem, out of that comes this beautiful knowledge of Jesus Christ, of the Lord, that his mercies is new every morning, his steadfast love never ceases, that he is a faithful God. We need to always remember to be leaning into him, knowing that he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Our God is not only faithful, he is reliable. And that needs to be part of that foundation that you lay, that our God is faithful and he is reliable. And what he says, he will do, and he can do, and it will bring it to pass. Sometimes I think we can believe for a miracle for others, but not necessarily for us. To be quite honest, it was easy to pray for that lady in the emergency room because I figured I'd never see her again. I didn't see the results. I'm like, I can stand on faith because I'm not held accountable. I don't, you know, as I don't see her every day going, why didn't you get healed? You know, I was all happy with that, you know. But God in his faithfulness and God in his reliability brought her back to me so that I can see that God does what he says he'll do. If I pray in faith, God will do what he says he will do. The other thing I always have to remember is, the thing that I have taken away from childhood, and I'll try and hurry, but is just this. That church that prayed for my grandmother, they were probably less than what's here. The whole town was less than 3,000 people. It's a tiny little town in a tiny little church. Yet those people were so desperate because of the love that they had for my grandmother that they came together, they anointed that cloth with oil, they prayed over it, they sent it to my grandmother. So it doesn't, they weren't in the midst of some big revival like Brownsville or Toronto. It was a local church. A small local church. So if you think you have to go to some healing ministry, let me tell you, that's not true. God will meet you right where you're at, where the need is. And we need to make that part of our foundation of who it is. That's one of the things that I have set in my heart. And I struggle with it sometimes because I know, because of my grandmother's healing, I don't have to go to somewhere else. I can experience everything God has right here in my local church with you guys right beside me. If our hearts are turned towards Him, if we are 100% committed to Him, everything that can be experienced in any mighty ministry, healing ministry, can be experienced right here. Sister Betty can lay hands on me and I can recover. It doesn't need to be some fancy thing. I still like to go to my conferences, and I still like to go to those big hallelujah meetings. But you know what? Everything I need for health, for life, and godliness can be met right here through Jesus Christ. And as Bud was saying earlier, by the love of those who come alongside us right here in our local church. So last week when Tracy was talking about leaning in, God gave me this vision. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but I have the hardest time with jars. And the world's worst is spaghetti jars, that marinara sauce. I cannot get them jars open to save my life. My hands are short. I can't get a good grip of them. I have weakness in my hands, whatever. So I take that jar, and you know what I do to it? I take it to him. I take it to my husband. And I say, open this. And you know what he does? He opens it. He opens it. So the Lord showed me that we need to take our jars to Him, and we need to stand in that confidence, just like I know my husband will open that jar one way or another. He'll open that jar. I've seen him get out that little wrenchy thing, you know, that you take the oil changer thingy, you know, I don't know what you call that thing, but anyway, you wrench down on it, and it'll take that thing out. The filter thingy, whatever. Anyway, to get it open. But he'll get it open. So if we need healing, we say, Lord, this jar of healing, I need this jar of healing opened. And we take it to our daddy, to our father, and he'll open that jar of healing for us. And we need just to believe and expect that God will do what we've asked him to do. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. We need peace. God has that jar of shalom. He can open it, no problem. We need to bring into our understanding that he is able, and more importantly, that he is willing. You know, my husband likes his spaghetti, so he wants that jar open. Our God wants to heal. That's who he is. It's not what he does, it's who he is. So he wants to open that jar of healing. He wants his children to experience good things. So he wants to open that jar of provision for you. He wants to flow it over more than you can possibly imagine or think. That's what he says. But they need to become part of our foundational understandings. He is able and he is willing. Okay. So, the other thing we need to take into our understanding is that if he did it once, he'll do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Healing is not just for me. It's not just for Brother Curtis, or Sister D, or Mike, or Debbie. It's for every one of us, because God loves us that much. As Caroline was saying earlier, he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He wants good things for us. Sometimes that means we have to draw closer. You know what? I can't get my husband to open that jar if he's watching football. Don't expect him to come to the kitchen to open it. I have to go take that jar of football or of spaghetti sauce to him in the living room. So we need to draw close to the source who could pop that jar open. Okay. Our God, he's the God who protects. He's a shepherd. He's our Father. He weeps over us. He sings over us. He sent Jesus to die in our place, and he's coming back for us. But in the meantime, back to the scripture God gave us to start with. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do miraculous things, wonders among you. So consecrate means to make yourselves holy, or I like to this definition, make yourself ready. So build up those foundation stones. Prepare yourselves, because the Lord is releasing greater signs, greater wonders, and greater miracles amongst us than we have ever experienced before. And we need to take what we've already got, what we've already experienced, and build on them. And we need to look at what God is revealing about himself and continue to build on them. And you know what? Here's the good thing. If we share them with one another, I can learn from what Bud said today. I can learn and take what you have learned and add that to my own foundation stone. It was not my body that was healed. It was my grandmother's body. But you know what? I know God can do it because I saw it. I know if I lay down my pride, God will heal me. God will do what he said he will do, because God is a God who can and does and will. But more importantly, now we get back to the other part of it. More important than sharing it even with one another, you know who we need to share it with? We need to go to Walmart and share it at Walmart. We need to go to our doctor's office and share it with that patient that's sitting beside us. You know what? My God's a healer. I've seen him do it. You addicted to cigarettes or something? You know what? I went to bed a smoker, and you know what happened? God woke me up, and I was no longer addicted to nicotine. He set me free. We need to share it with those around us. You know, the scripture says we need to always be ready to give a reason for our hope. And what is our hope? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. But more than in Jesus Christ, our hope is in a living, breathing, miracle-working God. A God that brings hope to the hopeless, health to the dying, provision to the needy, freedom from those who are held in bondage. We have a God that still silences the storms, that shows his strength in heavens and earth. He's the God of nations, and yet he loves each and every one of us with an everlasting love. He's healer. He's faithful. He's reliable. He's protector. He's father. He's shepherd. He's king of kings and lord of lords. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He's the great I am, Yahweh. He's the Ancient of Days. Some days I feel like that, but he's the Ancient of Days. I can depend on him. He was and is to come. He is our hope. And you know what? We can prove it. We can prove it. We did it earlier. We all stood up. We can prove it. And I'll finish with this. So, Sean, you can come up and do your thing and whatever. But our Tuesday Bible study, we're watching some remarkable ladies, and one of them was Priscilla Shire, and she said, you can limit your awareness of God, but it does not limit what God can do. So let us not be people who limits God. Let us not be people who cannot build on those foundation stones. When you see a miracle before you, right before your very eyes, take it into your very heart, your very mind, your very soul, your very spirit, and every part of you, and let it become part of who you are. Build on them. Let them be your foundational knowledge of who God is, what God can do. He is the God of the impossible. And I'm here to tell you, just as our scripture said, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, in this house, you will see blind eyes open. You will see deaf ears hear. You will see Bethany walk, Bethany run, Bethany talk. You will see the dead rise. You will see your own hands laid on somebody, praying over them. And you will see them recover. Not because of anything we do, but because we have a God who can. We have a God who can. And one last thing, thank you, Sean, because every song you sang went right along with what God said. He is a miracle worker, a way maker. He is what we need. So if some of you are struggling to actually take those miracles and make them part of who you are, of laying down those foundation stones, I want to pray for you. And so, Lord, you are a God who heals. You are a God who saves. You are a God that chases after that one lost sheep. You are a God that does the impossible. You provide when there is no way. You turn storms. You cause us to walk on water. So, Lord, I ask that you take each and every miracle that you have provided and let it become so much a part of us that it is part of our makeup, a part of who we are, of who we know you to be. A God who can, a God who will, and a God who is faithful and reliable to do what he said he can do. So Lord, I ask that you bless them. Everyone in this room, and everyone who can hear the sound of my voice, bless them with that foundational knowledge of who you are. You are the Almighty. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. Amen.
Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. The word of the Lord to us is to make these things that we have experienced about God become foundational in our lives. We don't allow the enemy to rob us or our memory to fail us, but we want these things to become a part of who we are because they're a part of who God is and we are his children. In this moment, if there's anybody in this house that has drifted from the Lord, you've walked away, you're not walking with him as you should, and you're saying this morning, Pastor Joe, I want to recommit myself to the Lord, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that needs to recommit themselves to the Lord? Anybody else that need to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? Maybe you have seen miracles. And for a time when you saw those miracles, you were zealous for the Lord. But as time went on, you've lost that zeal. And you're saying, Pastor Joe, would you pray for me that God would restore my zeal for him this morning? I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. A hand over here. Anybody else? You've lost that zeal and you're saying, Pastor Joe, pray for me that God would restore that zeal. Another hand over here. Anybody else? That God would restore that zeal that you had. Now we heard this morning this testimony, this word cancer kept coming back. Testimony of God healing cancer. You know, for many, the word cancer is intimidating, full of fear. But we have heard testimony this morning that the name of the Lord is above cancer. And so if you're in this house this morning and you have a diagnosis like that, or some sort of diagnosis where it seems the doctors, they don't have a clue what to do. And you're saying, Pastor Joe, will you pray with me? Just lift your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? Or maybe you're standing in the gap for somebody else who you know has cancer, but they're not here this morning. And you're saying, Pastor Joe, will you pray for so-and-so? Just raise your hand. Anybody in this house? Kelly, and there's a hand behind you. Father, thank you that you're a God who heals. That's who you are. It's part of your nature. Lord, that's how you revealed yourself to Israel as soon as they came out of the wilderness. Lord, even before you established covenant with them, you revealed yourself as healer. And so, Lord, we lift up those who are standing in the gap for others. Lord, the others that they're standing in the gap for. Lord, for Kelly, this morning we pray and stand in the gap for her healing. For this person that Connie is standing in the gap for. Father, we pray right now that you, the miracle-working God, would intervene and touch that person's body to bring healing. Lord, we rebuke this the spirit of cancer, and we command it to be gone. We command every cancerous cells to die in the body of these individuals, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are people who are online, oh God, also crying out for you to bring healing from cancer, Lord, we thank you and we believe with them, oh God, for their healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we curse every cancerous cell. And Father, we speak to their bodies, oh God, and command their bodies to produce good cells and only good cells in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The other thing I want to pray for, you know, today's Mother's Day, and a mother's heart is usually for her children to do well. For her children to relate to each other well and to relate to her well. And so I want to pray a prayer this morning, releasing reconciliation, releasing the Spirit of God to touch hearts and to soften hearts so that it would be reconciliation in families and reconciliation between parent and children. We have heard testimonies of this throughout this year, and I believe it's part of what the Spirit of God does, the God of reconciliation. The same God who, when Esau lost his blessing, he swore that he would kill Jacob. But years later, God brought them back together, and there was no fighting. They peacefully said, I'm going to settle here, and you're going to settle over there, because God brought them back together. And so I believe that God will do the same for us. So Father God, right now, I lift up before you, God, every every family in this house, every family that is participating online. And Father, I pray for reconciliation. I pray for forgiveness to come into those families. I pray for reconciliation, oh God, to come into those families, every single family. Father, I pray that you might soften hearts. Lord, hearts that have become hardened. Lord, hearts that are suffering because of hurt and woundedness. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you might touch hearts, that you might bring healing, that you might bring deliverance, that you might bring forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we silence every lie of the enemy who would say to individuals that not being reconciled is the best way to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we silence those lies in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you, God, for bringing reconciliation in families in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, and amen. Pastor Sean, you have a song there?
Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. Again, God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There's nothing impossible for the God of miracles. Come, we need your supernatural love. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles.
Father, again, we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for your word. And Father, we pray, O God, that your word will bring forth fruit in our lives. That, Father, your word would not slip us, that the enemy won't come and snatch your word over our hearts. But, Lord, that your word will bring forth fruit. Father, we ask you, God, to continue, O God, to draw us unto yourself. Lord, even as we seek to consecrate ourselves, O God, we pray that you might draw us closer, closer and closer. That, Father, we might become more sensitive to your voice, more sensitive to the movement of your spirit. For Lord, you did say that those who are led by your spirit, they are the children of God. Lead us by your spirit, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. You're dismissed.